Welcome back to Let's Talk Marriage and lesson number three, entitled Establishing Expectations. In this lesson, we're actually going to talk about why it's important to establish expectations for marriage. And we're going to look at several things that actually are involved in expectations in marriage. These are things that can really throw a monkey wrench in what we expect in marriage. So let's go ahead and pull our notes up and we'll get started today. Establishing expectations for marriage. It's quite common for couples to enter marriage with false expectations about what their marriage will be like. For example, some couples will assume, because they argue with each other, that they actually married the wrong person. Nothing could be farther from the truth. We are human beings with a flawed nature that is naturally selfish. When we live with someone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're bound to have moments of weakness where we have disagreements and even arguments. I grew up in a home with six boys. We argued all the time. Satan's attack is to learn what marriage is really like so that you begin with some realistic expectations. And that's what this entire study is designed to do, help you have a realistic expectation of what marriage is. So from today through all the rest of these lessons that we'll be going through, we're trying to help you realistically see what it's going to be like once you get married. Consider this statement commonly made after being married for some time. Well, this is not what I signed up for. That statement alone defines the need for this study to help you understand what you're signing up for. When you commit to each other in marriage, you're signing up for life. Are you really sure you know what you're getting into? I hope so. But at least these lessons can help you better understand what you're getting into. So let's begin our journey to understand what God says marriage really is. First, and all of you will have some kind of an idea inside your head of what it's going to look like after you get married. I hope that your opinion is a good one, and I hope it's realistic. How do we form our opinion of what marriage? One, our own family. We remember what our mom and dad's marriage was like. It's the most personal and up-close picture of marriage we have. This is the most common means of forming an opinion about marriage. Sometimes this is a great source of understanding marriage when your parents had a good and godly marriage. However, this can also create a skeptical view of marriage if your parents didn't have such a great marriage. So, first of all, your own family growing up, that helps to form your opinion of marriage and what it looks like. Number two, the world. Some people may form their opinion about marriage by what they see in the media or on TV. This is the world's way of propagating the humanistic view of marriage. Remember who the God of this world is. It's Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that, and we'll see this in just a minute, that Satan is the God of this world. This is probably not the best way to learn about marriage, by watching TV. Then number three, our friends. Often we form our view of marriage based on what we see in our friends and their marriages. It's easy to compare ourselves to each other. However, this is also not a very good way to get a true picture of what our marriage will look like because we're all different. And then finally, number four, excuse me, which is the best way? And that is God through the Bible. It's by far the best source for preparing us and helping us to understand what marriage is really like. Remember, God's the one that created marriage. He also gave us an instruction manual, the Bible, on how to do it. This is the method that we're going to use. Next, there's the spiritual side of marriage. This also plays a big role in helping you to understand what marriage is really like. So this has a major part in your expectation about marriage. The best place to get an understanding of marriage is the Bible. That's why Satan will do whatever he can to get us to doubt the Bible and leave it out of our life altogether. Satan has attacked marriages and human beings since the beginning of mankind. In order to have the proper expectations in marriage, we need to understand the spiritual part of marriage. Notice these principles that are critical to having the right expectation about marriage. One, understand your enemy, and that's the devil. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" Notice, the first thing Satan did was he tried to get Eve to doubt what God had said. It's the first thing he's going to do to you. He's going to try to get you to doubt what God says in the Bible is true. Verse 2, "Of course we may eat from the trees in the garden," the woman replied, and that was true. But then in verse 3, "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you'll die." Satan is going to come after you because he doesn't want you to have a happy marriage. And he knows that if you live the way God tells you to live in the Bible, that you'll have a happy marriage. So he wants to stop you from listening to the Bible. Number two, we've got to understand human nature. We are sinners. We all need to understand that. We're not perfect. Romans 3:23, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." Romans 7 and verse 18, Paul said this, "And I know that nothing good lives in me," that is, in my sinful nature. "I want to do what's right, but I can't." How many times have you been frustrated with yourself because you wanted to do the right thing and you ended up doing the wrong thing? That's normal because we're sinners. And number three, we're also easily tempted to sin. James 1 verses 13 through 15 say this, "And remember when you're being tempted, do not say, 'God is tempting me.' God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else." Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4, 5, and 6. Here's where we pick up the story with Eve again. "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. Basically, he lied to her. "God knows your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil." Now notice what happened. The woman was convinced. What convinced her? Here it is. She saw the tree was beautiful. She looked at it and it looked great. Her desire. And its fruit looked delicious. Looks like it'll taste good. Once again, her human desire. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. She wanted to be smart. She thought that would help her be smart. All of these are human desires that satisfy something Eve wanted, but it was contrary to what God said she ought to do. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And that's when sin entered the world, because they followed their own desire after listening to the lie of the devil, and they plunged into sin. Even though Adam and Eve knew what God had said, Satan lied to them and talked them into doubting God and ultimately into disobeying him. And of course, the rest is history. All of mankind has been battling sin ever since then. So you got to understand who your enemy is, the devil. You got to understand human nature. We're all sinners, and we're all going to battle that till the day we get to heaven. And then finally, we got to understand the world. What is it about the world? The truth about marriage in the Bible are still good today. However, the world, which refers to our culture, has done all it can to distort what the Bible. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. The world, or this culture that we live in, will laugh at the principles of the Bible. They will say you do not love people or you're discriminating against others. They'll do all they can to get you to listen to them and ignore the Bible, and their message is very, very powerful. It's all over the media. It's everywhere. For this reason, it's critical that we have a clear biblical picture of marriage before we launch into this life-changing decision, because we won't last without God. So with that in mind, we're going to do our best over the next several lessons to try and help you establish a true, realistic, biblical expectation of what your life together is going to be like after marriage, so that you don't get discouraged by false expectations. Now, I've got a little homework for you. Between now and when you listen to the next lesson, I want you to talk to each other and discuss right now, what does marriage look like to each of you? If you were to get married tomorrow, what do you see your life looking like? And then we'll talk a little bit more about that next time. Let's pray. Father, help us to have the right expectation of marriage. Give us the courage to resist the devil and obey what the Bible says. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, thank you for listening. I hope you have a great day, and I'll talk to you next time.